So last time we concluded with a quote from the Gra, which criticized Rambam's affinity to Kabbalah. The Gra said in Yoredeya Resh Mem Vav, Hu Divrei HaRama VeHaRambam, the Shulchan Aruch, when it understands the concept of Maisa Bereshis and Maisa Merkava, is referring to physics and metaphysics or the like, is the view of the Rambam. Mefarish Zehu Arba Shenichnes Ulapardes Ulakach Nenshu Shehayu Kulam Rakim B'Shanam Chutzim Yakiva Avalo Roes Apardes Lohu, meaning not the Rama Velo Rambam, meaning to say that what caused the Rambam was mistaken about what Pardes is and what Mais Veracious and Mais Merkava is. The reality is that Mais Veracious and Mais Merkava is Chachmas Asod, Taras HaEmes, Kabbalah, and the like. The Rambam, the Gra specifically writes, Avalo Ra'u Es HaPardes, meaning to say that the Rambam did not see, was never exposed to Chachmas Asod. And while this is meant in a certain sense as a critique, but it also explains a lot, meaning to say that while the Rambam may have been shown small pieces of Kabbalah, the Sadia Gaon, whose writings he was familiar with certainly, wrote a Perush on Sefer Yetzirah, and if you take a look, we're not going to do it together, but on page 52 of your source books, there is a Sefer that's a Kabbalistic Sefer that the Rambam quotes. He writes that when he was young, he thought it makes sense, and as he grew older, he thought it doesn't make any sense. But nevertheless, you can take a look there if you're interested. But more or less, the Rambam was not exposed to Kabbalah. And moreover, to the extent that he saw certain Kabbalistic works, like the one that we cite over there, he found them highly problematic, or perhaps even heretical. And that's because if you take Kabbalistic texts literally, meaning to say that you don't have the Kabbalah concerning how they should be studied, so they look heretical. They describe things like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's height, that's the work that the Rambam refers to, a work called Shir Koma, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu's limbs, what's on his right, what's on his left, what's his head, what's his feet. All of that, if a person did not have the proper background, so if they were to see such a thing, they would be absolutely correct in rejecting it as heretical, because that's what it seems to be. Now, Kabbalists who are genuine and have the correct Masorah go on to explain that these things aren't meant to be taken literally, and they certainly agree that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Eino Guf, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be understood with respect to his essence, something that the Rambam says as well, and that these things that they're describing are not meant to be taken literally. Now, that's not to say that had the Rambam understood that they didn't mean these things literally, he would have agreed to them. The Rambam's worldview was very different. It's not just that he rejected mysticism, but he presents Judaism in a totally rational fashion. Rational not in the sense that everything could be understood, but rational in the sense that it's logical to believe everything that Judaism dictates. And he goes on to explain these things. However, that being the case, the Rambam's worldview is certainly very different than that of the Mekubalim, but it's also true, for the most part, what the Gra says, that the Rambam was never truly exposed to Kabbalah, namely his teachers and those who taught him did not have this and did not teach him this. So thus far, what have we seen? So we've seen the idea we saw last time that many of the Rishonim stress the centrality of Metahalacha, One of the sources, for example, that we saw, whether that's referring to philosophy or Kabbalah, one of the sources that is used to highlight this idea is the Gemara in Bava Basra, Kuf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, which we saw last time, that says, Davar Gadol is Maaseh Merkava, whatever that means, and Davar Katan is Havayos Dabai Virava, which implies that there's a certain superiority to Maaseh Merkava, whatever it is, over Havayos Dabai Virava. A number of you mentioned that not everyone understands that Gemara literally in that sense. An example is the Ritva in Sukkah on Daf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, and he notes that first of all, the Gemara first mentions Mikra Mishnah Gemara and Halachos. The Gemara over there says, Amru Alava Rabbi Yochanan and Zakei Shaloi Niach Mikra Mishnah Gemara Halachos Agados Dikduke Torah Dikduke Sofrim Kalan Vachamurang Zer Shavos Tkufos Gmatrios Mashalos, etc., Davar Gadol and Davar Katan. So he says, look what's mentioned first, Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, and Halachos. So that shows that these fields are certainly superior. He understands that the reason why Havayos, Dabai, Virava are referred to as Davar Katan is because they're unclear. Ulefisha hayazem michisaron yediyah kari le Davar Katan b'chachmas ha-Mishnah, meaning to say Havayos, Dabai, Virava are the matters that were unclear, that Abai and Rava argue about, that are misunderstood or not understood. But this Gemara doesn't mean to tell us that Maisa Merkava is superior to Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, and Halacha. But as we saw last time, many Mefarshim cite this Gemara as a source telling us the superiority of whether it's Maisa Merkava in the sense of Kabbalah or in the sense of philosophy. Now, a very interesting point that's worth adding is that many of the Mefarshim point out, certainly those who follow the mystical viewpoint, that it's not just the Kabbalistic texts that teach us these eternal truths concerning the Ribbono Shel Olam, but that these could be derived from the Torah itself and the mitzvos themselves. A fascinating expression of this is the Shla, though we'll see it in many, many other Mefarshim in a moment, and the Shla writes that, if you take a look, it's on the bottom of page 8, really. It starts on the top of page 9. He's discussing what Yirmiyahu in Perek Lamed Aleph means when he says the Bris Chadasha. So he first notes that Al Pipshat, what is this new covenant? So he cites Radak concerning what it means. The Ramban, actually, in last week's Parsha, not last week's Parsha, in Parshas Netzavim, discusses what this Bris Chadasha means. But then he gives a fascinating suggestion. He says that we know the Torah is eternal, and he notes that the mitzvos only seem to relate to our current physical condition. So what does that mean? So he says, let's say Adam and Chava hadn't sinned, so there would be no need to plow a field. So all the mitzvos that relate to plowing, let's say Lo Sachro Shur V'Chamor Yachdav, would have been expressed in a very different way. Meaning to say that the Torah's mitzvos reflect eternal values, and that these eternal truths cloak themselves through the mitzvos in different ways. And thus, following man's fall, after they ate from the Eitz Hadas Tov HaRa, so it expressed itself in more physical terms. And the Bris Chadasha that Yirmiyahu depicts is a more spiritual understanding of the eternal truths expressed by the Torah. Just to read it together, Aval yesh od pnimius ladavar zeh, ki noda kemoshin nizgashem ha'adam, kein nizgashem ha'torah. Meaning to say the Torah took on a more physical state, the mitzvos, that is. Ki ilu hay ha'adam nishar b'ksones or began Eden, Haisa HaTorah Muvenes B'inyan Yoser Ruchani, Kemo Shekasov B'Pardes B'Shar Neshama. Ki Eich Shayach Lo Sacharosh shor uvechamor. Chitzarech harisha began Eden. Ukiyote bezeharbe. Elashaya muvan beinyan ruchani. Ma shenikra shor uvechamor. Kein laasid shiachzor haolam. Tifshot hatorah gashmiyusa. V'yiskaimu mitzvosea kefi hamuvan ba'isahi. V'kal lahavin. Now he writes, this is in consonance with the Rambam's idea that the Torah is nitzchi and will never be nisbatel. But nevertheless, the deeper or the more spiritual aspect of the Torah will be revealed. Another expression of this concept can be found in the Zohar, and this is an important maramakom, especially these parshios of Sefer Bereishis. The Zohar writes, Reb Shimon Amar, this is on page 9, Vailahu Barnash de Amar de Ha Oraisa Asa La Achza Sipurin de Alma Umilin de Hedyoti. Woe is to the person who thinks that this Torah is just coming to teach us stories or folk tales. De Ihachi Afilu Bismana da Nan Yeholden Lemevad Oraisa Bemilin de Hedyote Vishabcha Yatir Mikulu. If all this is folk tales, as Rahman al Atzlan, some people view it as, so we could do a lot better folk tales. They're better folk tales than the Torah. Afilu inun kafsire de alma, even the kings, isbe minayu milin ilan yoser. They have better folk tales. Ihachi nezel abasrayu v'navid minayu oraisa. So let's make theirs into a Torah, ki agavna. Elamilin de oraisa milin ilain inun verazin ilain. The words of Torah, rather, are elevated matters, and they allude to mystical matters, secret matters. This is a little reminiscent of the Ramban's comments in last week's Parsha. Rashi quotes Reb Yitzchak as saying, why does the Torah need to begin with Bereishis? It should begin with HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. The Ramban wonders, what kind of question is that? A fundamental Yesod Hamuna is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So of course the Torah needs to begin with Bereishis. And Ramban answers, no. Because for that knowledge, all we need is what it says in the Aseret HaDibros, Ki sheshes yamim asa Hashem es haShamayim ve'es haAretz uvayom hashvi'i shavas va'inafash. With that sentence, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So why then does it need to tell us what was created on the first day, what was created on the second day, what was created on the third day? And if you tell me, well, it's important to know that, he says, you can't understand any of that anyway without the Chachmas HaEmes, without the Kabbalah. And the Kabbalah is something that we've received, those of us who know it, he includes himself presumably, know it because we have a tradition about it going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. And those of us who don't, for those people who don't know it, they can't be taught it, and they can't figure it out from the text anyway, and therefore they could only be taught by worthy teachers who would teach worthy students. And that being the case, so what purpose does the first parak of Bereishis serve? We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world from the Aseret HaDibros, and in terms of the details, you can't understand any of the details anyway from the first parak. And that's what the Zohar here is saying, because kol milin de oraisa inun razin ilayin. He continues, oraisa kevan denachtas lahay alma ilav de mislabsha behani livushin dehay alma lo yachil alma lemisbal. The Torah, if it didn't cloak itself in the concepts of this world, like we said before, these are eternal truths which are presented in the form of physical mitzvos or physical descriptions or stories. So, v'alda hai sipor de oraisa levusha de oraisa ihu. And in that sense, the stories of the Torah are the levush of the Torah. In other words, they're equivalent to clothing on a person. Manda chashiv dahu levusha ihu oraisa mamish velo mila achra. Someone who thinks that the levush, the clothing, is the actual Torah, tipach ruche velo yehelo chelka ba'alma da'ase, he doesn't have a chelak in olam haba. Begin kach amar David gali nai v'abita nifloos mitorah secha ma detachos lelevusha de'oraisa. So David HaMelech davins, open my eyes and let me see that which is below the garments, meaning to say that I won't just see the Torah as the external garments that one encounters at first, but one will be able to see that which is below. Tachazi, is levusha de ischazi lakula. The lavush is something that everyone sees. The inun tipshin kad chaman lebarnash belavusha deschaze lon shapira. So let's say an idiot goes ahead and sees a person dressed very nicely. Lo mistakel yaser. He doesn't look any further, meaning to say, he sees a person dressed nicely in nice clothing. He says, okay, that's the person, the clothing that I see. Because when you encounter a person, what do you see? You see their clothing. Chashivu dehu levusha gufa. So they think the levush is the guf. Chashivusa de gufa nishmisa. But of course, it's not true. The chashivus of the guf isn't the clothing. It's the neshama that's beneath the clothing. Ukahai gavna oraisa isla gufa. So the Torah has a guf. V'inun pikude oraisa de ikron gufe Torah. The mitzvos, which are called the gufe Torah. Hai gufa mislabsha belavushin de inun sipurin de hai alma. So the stories of the Torah are the lavush, which cover the guf of the Torah. Tipshin de alma lo mistakli ala bahu lavusha de us sipur de araisa. So the fools of the world see only the clothing, and they think that's all that there is. Velo yadiyatir, velo mistakli bema de is tachon, bis tachos hai lavusha. They don't look what's below the clothing. Inun de yadi yasir. Those that know a little more, in other words, a second level of understanding of the Torah, those that go beyond the Tipshin, lo mistaklin bilavusha, ela begufa deiu tachas ahu lavusha. They look at the guf, which is below the guf, the lavush. Chachimin avde malka ilaa inun dekaime betura de Sinai, lo mistakli ela benishmisa deiu ikra dekula oraisa mamish. Then there's a third level. Those that are the wise go ahead and recognize that beneath the guf, the animating force beneath the guf is the neshama. So this third level perceives that the Torah doesn't just have a guf below the levush, but below the guf, or animating the guf, is the neshama. And that's the nishmasa of the Torah. And finally, ulazimna da'asi, like we saw in the Shlach, La'asid lavo zimnin le'istakla benishmisa denishmisa da'oraisa. We'll be able to perceive the neshama of the neshama of the Torah, meaning to say there's a level which we can't, even the chachamim can't perceive now, the neshama of the neshama, the true essence in the inner core of the Torah. Ta'achazi, continues, we'll just finish with the final line. Vai le'inun chayavya de amre de oraisa lo ihu ela sipura ba'alma ve'inun mistakli belavusha da velo yatir. So woe is to the people that see only the stories and think that there's nothing else. Zakayin inun sadikaya de mistakli be'oraisa kidekas yeos. And what is a chus for the tzadikim who study the Torah as they should? So, in summary, the Zohar warns against perceiving the stories of the Torah as merely stories. The Torah, there was no choice but to cloak these eternal truths in more physical realities. Our job, though, is to get to the soul, to get to the essence, to get below. The Maharal writes in Tiferes Yisrael in Perek Yud Gimel, which you have below here, that this is not just true with respect to the stories, but as we saw in Ishla, with respect to the mitzvos, how the mitzvos reflect the inner neshama. There's an interesting point. Everyone needs a chizuk on Shnai Mikra at the beginning of the year. So the Pardes Rimonim quotes, that's written by the Ramak, writes that the reason why the Torah, why the halacha stresses that one has to learn Shnai Mikra and study every single word is because all the words present divine truths. Vizel minanimna kivade devre Torahim Meshivas nefesh v'rayim m'mashich huyavas v'ashlamas ha-Torah Shnai Mikra v'yachatargum v'afilu v'ateres v'divon. The Gemara says, every single word you have to do Shnai Mikra. What's so bad about missing a word? The answer is that every word presents and conveys sublime truths. This is similar to what the Ramban writes in the Hakdama to Chumash. You have it here below. He writes that the Torah originally existed as black fire on white fire, which is a reflection of the idea that the Torah conveys these eternal truths. When we say the Torah existed before the creation of the world, we mean to say that even the concepts of the Torah are emes, and it's eternal, and thus even before there was a world, there was Torah. And likewise, he says that's why Sefer Torah Shechasar Os Achas is pasul, because even if one particular letter is missing, which seems not to be of particular importance, perhaps it's not important al pi pshat, but al pi sod, so even the things that don't seem to be particularly important are important. It's interesting how that relates to the Ramban Shita elsewhere concerning Sefer Torah Shechasar Os Achas. And that's the yesod. The yesod is that, as the Ramban there says, the Torah conveys everything, all information, all knowledge. We might not always be able to discern it from the Torah, but it's all there. I see there are some questions. Go ahead.
So each letter kind of conveys the specific Torah. So what about the fact that we know that about the Lepo Codex and Torahs with slightly different...
These are good questions. And the truth is, the Ramban himself deals with that elsewhere. It's as Merames too before how the two stem. It's a good ha'ara that we know that don't have to that there seem to be discrepancies. The Gilyon HaShas notices them discrepancies between the text we have and the one cited in the Gemara, and. Your point is well taken, which is to say that on a level of pshat, for the most part, the minor discrepancies, how you spell p'tua daka, are not particularly significant, and the fact that that all there is a couple of these, so that's not particularly meaningful. But perhaps on this deeper level, so these differences can be cataclysmic, and that's why one of the things you see when you sometimes look at the Mefarshim al Pisod, you'll see that they're Mairich on the parts of the Torah that don't seem to be particularly important. So, there's both a halachic question, which is not our issue today, and in terms of the hashkafic issue that you're referring to, so in Achanami, Lasad Lava, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of our halacha and in terms of the pshat, so the minor discrepancies to the extent that they exist are not significant. And Al Pi Tarsa Emes, so those Lasad Lava, when the Nishmasa de Nishmasa of the Torah is revealed, and we go ahead and we're able to understand the Pnimius Hadavar through the various codes and other means through which these things are understood. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Megala, whatever is Chaser Tas, I guess. Yeah?
What is the point of that Hatargam?
You have to understand what it means. Targum's also teaching you, according to the Ramban, Chachmas Emes and Nister.
As a separate reason, or that's somehow part of the...
Al pi pshat, Targum is to make sure you have to understand it. But the Ramban points out that that Targum is also reveals or alludes to many of the Sodos.
And in terms of that, so it's like you mentioned, it's only within the Ramban's Shita that it's that you wouldn't be able to like read from it, right? I think Shofanar says like.
That's a machlokas Rishonim. Even the Ramban isn't so pashut. But Avada, what we do is, as I said, it's a different sugya, the halachic issue of again, already Bizman Chazal, they said, Einanu Bekiyim B'chaseres V'yaseiros, and the practical implication, is it Shita Saram? I'm like, that's not for today. Okay. Thus far, we've expressed the notion that the halacha reflects the infinite divine wisdom in more mystical terms. Just to see a different perspective, the Rav expresses this idea somewhat differently. If the sources that we saw earlier, the Shla and the Maharal, say that you have to have a conceptual understanding of the mitzvos such that they reveal their eternal truths. The Rav also, advocating for the Brisker Derech, argued for a conceptual analysis that reveals the inner truth upon which the law is predicated. But this form of analysis is a very different, paints a very different picture. Take a look at the bottom of page 10, and of course you should all read a halachic manual, get a much more full perspective here. I just pulled out a couple of sentences. Halachic man's approach to reality is at the onset devoid of any element of transcendence. Halacha is the blueprint for an ideal world. Mahusa shel halacha shekibla meis HaKadosh Baruch Hu hi yetziras olam ideali v'hakaras hayachas hashorer beino lemetzius al kol tofa oseha sharsheha v'ikareha. At the same time, the halachic perspective gives us the greatest possible glimpse of God. Meaning to say, whether you take the Rav's perspective or the Shlaz perspective or the Zohar, we're able to obtain the greatest possible understanding of the Ribono Shel Olam through the study of Torah. Here's a quote from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein describing the Rav's analysis, his approach. Torah gives the Jewish insight, as direct and profound as man is privileged to attain, into the revealed will of his Creator. In other words, how do you understand Ratzon Hashem? By studying Torah. And specifically, through the study of Halacha, the imminent expression of God's transcendent, rational will, man's knowledge of God gains depth and scope. Now this is very important, because we saw last time how the Rishonim stress the importance of the mitzvah of Yediyas Hashem, of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, of course, the question is, how do you understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu? One aspect is philosophy. One aspect is mysticism. The Rav is telling us, and the Rav is certainly not the only one to say it, though he expressed it very eloquently, is that one way to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by learning halacha. Further religious study is a stimulus to the total spiritual personality. Faith can be neither profound nor enduring unless the intellect is fully and actively engaged in the quest for God. Here's another quote from the Rav. When a person delves into God's Torah and reveals its inner light and splendor and enjoys the pleasure of creativity and innovation, he merits communion with the giver of the Torah. The ideal of clinging to God is realized by means of the coupling of the intellect with the divine idea, which is embodied in rules, laws, and tradition. This is reminiscent of the Nefesh HaChaim's critique of those who understand Torah Lishma, as referring to Dveikus. The learning of Halacha, L'shem HaTorah, creates the greatest Dveikus. However, halachic knowing does not remain sealed off in the realm of the intellect. It bursts forth into one's existential consciousness and merges with it. The idea turns into an impassioning and arousing experience. Knowledge into a divine fire. Strict and exacting halachic discipline turns into a passionate love burning with the holy flame. Myriads of black letters into which have been gathered reams of law, explanations, questions, problems, concepts, and measures descend from the cold and placid intellect, which calmly rests on its subtle abstractions and its systematic frameworks, to the heart full of trembling, fear, and yearning, and into sparks of the flame of a great experience which sweeps man to his Creator. So just like the Rambam we saw last time describes how contemplation of the universe sparks feelings of yearning to be close to God, the study of Halacha produces such feelings as well. With this, I'd like to turn to two prakim in the Rambam from the Morne Vuchim, both of them towards the end, chapters 51 and chapters 54, and learn them together with you because they're important, A, in terms of understanding the role and the purpose of the study of philosophy, and B, in terms of understanding Rambam's position concerning the relationship and the superiority of philosophical study and the observance of Torah and mitzvos. So we're going to start with chapter 51, which is on page 11. And it's a little late, so I'm going to summarize part of this and then we'll read part of it inside. The Rambam here gives an analogy of a palace. So he says, imagine a palace in a city with various groups of people. Some groups of people, there are going to be six groups of people. So the first group of people are outside the city. If you see, turn to page 12, I numbered the groups of people. Others have entered the city, but their backs are to the palace. In other words, they're heading in the wrong direction. Instead of heading towards the palace, they're heading away from the palace. Others face the palace courtyard, but cannot see the courtyard. Others have entered the courtyard. Others have entered the palace antechamber. And finally, some are with the king. And these six levels correspond to different levels of understanding the Ribbono Shel Olam. So group one has no conception of the divine, neither one based on speculation, nor one based off of tradition. So he writes that such people are below the rank of mankind, but above the rank of apes, since they have the form and shape of man, but their mental faculties are something more akin to the monkeys. So those are the people that are not even inside the city. They have no understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam at all. The next group, here we'll read this together, where it says number two, Aval Osam Asher Heim Ba'ir, this is from the Kapach translation, El Shachoreihem El Chatzer HaMelech Heim Balei Hashkafa V'Ion V'Kfar Husku Lahem Hashkafos Bilti Nechonos Im Machmas Ta'us Chamura She'ir Lahem Bizman Iyunam So they have a perception of God. That's why they're in the city, as opposed to the first group of people. They believe in God. But the problem is that it's a false understanding of God. Now, presumably, he's referring to people who believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has some type of physical form. As we'll see later on, that this mistaken belief, which the Rambam writes is quite rampant in his times, in many senses is worse than even idolatry, he writes. And the truth is that a major goal of Sefer Mor Nevuchim is to counteract this perception, this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is somehow corporeal. People might reach that conclusion, for example, based off of the numerous psukim that, when understood literally, imply that. So these people have adopted their false doctrines, and he writes either because they misunderstood, they made mistakes in their speculation, they misunderstood the Torah, or perhaps they were taught these false beliefs and their teachers taught them to error. And thus, despite their desire to come close to God, instead of walking towards the palace, in other words, instead of coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're walking away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam continues, V'harehem li'olam achmas osam hashkafos kol ma she'ovrim mosifin richok mechatzar ha'melech. So the more they go, the further they get from the truth. V'eile yoser ra'im min harishonim b'harbe. This group, the second group, is much worse than a first group. Now, this is very strange. Why should they be worse than the first group? The first group doesn't even believe in God, and they don't believe that there is anything divine, right? They're the barbarians that are not even human. How could you say the second group, so it's true they're making an important mistake, but in what sense are they worse than the first group? So I believe what he's saying is that, and let's add, they're not even responsible for their mistakes, like he said before. How did they arrive at this conclusion? Because they misunderstood, they made a mistake, they were taught incorrectly by their teachers. So how do we How do we consider them worse? And the answer, I believe, is that the Rambam doesn't mean that they're worse objectively. He means that they represent a much greater danger, and therefore there's much more of a need to, as he's going to say in a moment, to expiate them. Meaning to say that because they do believe in God and claim to be believers in God, so their false beliefs have the ability to mislead everybody else and bring people to terrible conclusions. And this is very similar to the Rambam's position concerning Tinok Shenishba. The Rambam believes that a Tinok Shenishba, like he describes over here, is someone who is not held responsible for their false beliefs because they were taught things incorrectly by their teachers, and accordingly they're not deemed a heretic for the various halachic ramifications that a kofer has, since they can't be blamed for their errors. But at the same time, the Rambam writes concerning the Tinok Shenishba that at times there's a need to kill them. Now, before anyone gets excited, the Chazon Ish writes in Yerideya, Simen Beis Sif Tes Zayin, that this halacha of Moridin Velo Malin does not apply anymore. He says, V'nira de'en din moridin ela bizman shashkachaso gluya kemo bizman shehayu nisim mitzuyim u'meshamesh baskol v'tzadike ador hayu tachas hashkacha pratis haneris lein kol v'akofrim az hu benilizus miuchedos. And he goes on and he says that actively trying to knock these off is not really going to, among other things, accomplish the goal that you seek to accomplish by doing so. But the Rambam writes, at least theoretically, even though, again, the Rambam writes, he's the Baal Memra, he's the one who expands the concept of Tinok Shenishba from the way it's applied in Perek Klal Gadol, for those of you learning the first part of the Perek, to anyone who was not, let's say, a first generation or second generation Karaite. And nevertheless, again, he writes, I'll just read to you from Hilchos Mamrim, Parag Gimel, Halacha Gimel. It's important to use the correct girsa here. You should make sure if you look it up. A lot of times when people quote this Rambam, maybe for good reasons, so they use the old version. I saw even, there's a Rav in England who has a whole book on Tinok Shenishba and the Rambam's position. So he always is very careful in his book when he describes the Rambam's position to quote the Vilna edition, which leaves out the last line. The Rambam writes, if you look at the Frankel edition, or the Avo b'nei ha-toem ha-eila u'v'nei b'neihem shehidichu osam avosam v'noldu bein ha-karayim v'godlu osam al da'atam harehu ketinok shenishba b'neihem v'gidluhu v'eino zariz l'achol b'darkei ha-mitzvah sharehu ke'anos. Right? We don't blame him. He's mamish and ones. An anos. V'af al pi shesham achar kach, he hears afterwards that he is a Jew. Sheu Yehudi v'ra'u Yehudim v'datam harehu ke'anos sharei gidluhu al ta'usam. Kach elu she'amarnu ha'ochsam b'darkei avosam ha'karayim she'tau. Lefikach. So therefore, what's our approach to them? Ro'i l'hachziram b'tshuva ulamashcham b'divrei shalom. So because they're not blamed, our job is to try to be machzir them. Ad she'achzru le'etan ha'torah. V'lo yimaher lahargan. And you shouldn't be so quick to kill them. So that's the line that's frequently left off. And the Rambam here says the same thing, going back to, again, the second section on page 12. V'harehem li'olam machmas osam hashkafos kol ma she'ovrim osif en richok mechatzir ha'melach ve'ele yoser ra'im min harishonim b'harbe ve'elu heim goreim behechreach b'miktas hazmanim harigasam. So therefore, occasionally, like he says, lo yumayer laharvan, occasionally, b'miktas hazmanim, so then the hechreach is gorim laharigasam. What does it mean, the hechreach? Because they present a danger. What's their danger? We're not killing them because of a punishment, because after all, he says they're an ones. They're not in any way responsible for their false doctrines and beliefs. They came to these beliefs because they were taught by foolish teachers. But nevertheless, so we don't punish them because of anything they've done wrong, but rather because there's a danger. They present a very terrible danger to society because they can lead everybody else off the derech. Umichias ikvos hashkefoseim kidei, and he says this explicitly. Why do we sometimes have to get rid of them? Kidei shelo yitu darche zulasam, so they don't cause others to err. So the reason why the second group of people, namely those who believe in God but have incorrect understandings concerning the nature of God, are worse than the first group is because they're much more dangerous. Okay, now we'll turn to the third group. The third group is the masses of religious people who observe the Torah but are basically ignorant. The fourth group are those who devote themselves exclusively to the study of the practical laws. They have proper beliefs, but they arrive at their beliefs based off of tradition. In other words, they've never investigated them, nor have they tried to prove them. So while they might be Talmidei Chachamim, because they only believe in their correct beliefs concerning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in other words, they believe in the Yud Gimel Ikar Emunah, and they have proper belief and correct beliefs. However, how do they know these beliefs? So they know them because they were taught them, because of the tradition. And it's not something that they've investigated. The Rambam believes, for example, concerning the mitzvah of Emunah, it's a mitzvah of Yediyah, and one is mekayim this mitzvah through attempting to find proofs or evidence. The Rambam isn't the only one. The Sefer HaChinuch writes in the mitzvah of Emunah that the mitzvah min amuvchar, one is mekayim the mitzvah of Emunah if you simply believe, the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, but the mitzvah min amuvchar is to investigate and to prove. This is the view of the Chovos HaLevavos and Rav Sadia Gaon and many others. It's certainly not universal. Continuing, so we have then group five is those that have investigated matters of theology. So they've entered the antechamber. And within this fifth group, the Rambam says there are many different levels. Some have gone further and further into the palace, while others have not. This is the level of Chachamim, the Rambam writes. And those who have succeeded in finding proof for everything that can be proven and have a true knowledge of God to the extent that knowledge can be attained. Rambam frequently stresses that we can't, of course, understand everything. So they are together with the king in the same room. And the Rambam writes over here, he continues, that to reach this level, a person must abandon all that's in this world and devote themselves exclusively to the pursuit of the understanding of God. This, he says, is the Madrega of Nevi'im, and this category too is divided into different levels. And Moshe Rabbeinu, who achieved the highest of these levels, achieved such proximity to God that it says that the pasuk he quotes from Shmos, that he was together with God and he could converse any time he wished. And the Rambam writes he was therefore at such a high level that there was no need for him to eat or drink and the like. If you skip to page 13, the Rambam stresses at the very bottom, V'kfar biarnu pa'amim mispar ki ha'ava kefi ha'erech ha'saga. In other words, these levels don't just correspond to knowledge of God, but they relate to love of the Ribono Shel Olam. So therefore, the ahava is kefi ha'erech ha'saga. The extent to which a person loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the extent to which he understands. So it's very important to understand this isn't just a detached study of philosophy that is purely a intellectual pursuit. The Rambam understands that this is the mitzvah of Ava HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, to conclude, if you skip to page 14, under where it says Ha'ara, Ki Haseichel Kvar Biarnu Lucha Ki Haseichel Hazeh Asher Shafa Aleinu Me'ito Yisaleh Hu hamagasher beinenu leveino. The intellect which emanates from God onto us is that which joins us. It's the link that we have between us and the Ribono Shel Olam. Here again, we have the notion of the intellectual merging with the emotional. Vabechira biyadcha. He's talking to all of us. Im tirtze lechazek es hamaga hazeh uleavoso asei. So you have the power to strengthen this bond if you wish to do so. Vim tirtze lehachlisho uledakiko leat leat ad shetifsekeu asei. And if you want to weaken or allow the bond that you have to Ribono Shel Olam to weaken, so then that too is in your possession. Vein hamaga hazeh mischazek ela behafalaso behavaso behalicha bekivon zeh kimoshe heviarnu shebiarnu. So to the extent that you use your mind to consider matters other than the Ribono Shel Olam, so then your chibur with HaKadosh Baruch Hu will weaken, and to the extent that you use your mind to connect to the Ribono Shel Olam, it will strengthen. And just skip a little bit down to the next paragraph after it says Tachlis Aveda Ki af im ha'yisa ha'chacham b'vnei adam be'amitas hamada ha'loki Hare b'shash atam erokein es machshav t'cha me'ashem u'misasek b'chol yeshuscha b'achila hachrechis o b'iske hachrechi. Even if you're someone who's reached this madrega of being able to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at the moment that you're mafsik, you have hesach hadas, and you start thinking about things of this world, even the necessary things, you start thinking about what am I going to eat for lunch. So hincha mafsik oso hamaga asher b'incha Uvein Hashem. Then you've disconnected this chibur. And the Rambam goes ahead and talks about how one builds this up. He gives a very, I wish we had time to do it, read the rest of the parak. He talks about a very practical way in which you reach this madrega. It starts off, he says, by thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu during davening. Start with that. Then you expand and you think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu more during learning, during mitzvos and the like, until you reach a very high madrega. Now, if we stopped here, so we've very much seen the prominence of the intellectual within the Rambam's philosophy. In fact, if you just had this parak, you might go so far as to think that other areas of the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are not so vital for the ideal person. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us is our brains. However, this is not true. And to better understand this, we have to look at the Rambam's hierarchy of perfections. And we're going to skip a couple of chapters, page 22, to the final chapter of the Mor Nevuchim. Page 22. So earlier, I'm going to have to again summarize a little bit. Please read it on your own. Earlier, this again is from Kapach edition. Earlier we saw Rabbeinu Bachya and others talk about the significance of the mitzvah of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the pasuk that they quoted, among others, was Yirmiyahu Perek Tes, Ko Amar Hashem al Yisalel Chacham b'Chachmaso v'Yisalel Gibor b'Gvuraso v'Yisalel Ashir b'Ashro Ki Im Bezos Yisalel HaMishalel Haskel V'Yado Osi Ki Ani Hashem Osa Chesed Mishpat Ustaka V'Aretz Ki Va'Eloh Chafatzi Neum Hashem. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? Bezos Yisalel HaMishalel Haskel V'Yado Osi. Knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is a makor for the mitzvah of Yadiyas Hashem. So in this parak we're going to see how the Rambam understands this pasuk, and he has a remarkable diuk. The Rambam writes here that there are four types of perfection. You see them here again labeled and numbered. So the first type of perfection these aren't the label, this is earlier. The four types of perfections are labeled on page 23, a little later in the parak. Number one is material perfection. A person can acquire physical wealth and possessions, and of course these are not, this is the lowest level of perfection. They remain entirely external to a person. They could be lost at any moment. They don't become part of you. A person could be very rich, and a moment later he could be very poor. The second level of perfection is physical perfection. A person could be very strong, they could be healthy, they could be capable of doing great physical feats. takes a lot of work and practice and running and exercise. But this level of perfection is shared by animals. In fact, animals might be, in many ways, a lot better than us. They could run faster, jump higher, and the like. So, of course, this isn't the type of perfection that we should strive for. The third type is a character perfection. And here we're going to read parts 3 and 4 because these are most relevant to us. V'amin ha-shlishi hu shlemos beguf ha-adam yoser min ha-sheni v'hu shlemos ma'alos ha-midos. So having good midos. V'hu sheyiyu midos ha-ish ha-hu al tachlis ma'alosam. V'rov ha-mitzvos enam rak la'giya el zehamin min ha-shlemos. So the majority of mitzvos relate to this third goal. The Rambam writes in Chelek Gimel Perek Chav Zayin of the Mor Nevuchim that there are two aims of mitzvos, but the primary aim is the establishment of good and mutual relations among men by removing injustice and creating the noblest feelings. So the halachos allow for the perfection of a great society, and that's what he says. He says most mitzvos relate to this. However, even this, having a shlemos and midos, is not an end in its own right, but it's a means to something else. She'im ta'ale b'libcha she'achad mibnei adam omed levado ve'en lo esek im adam. He gives a proof. How do I know that having good midos, meaning to say the ways in which we relate to other people, is not an inherent ideal? Because if you're all alone, stranded in a desert island, so there aren't any other people. And so therefore, perfection in relations with other people is not something you could achieve. The highest level of shlemos has to be something which is independent, not something which is just based on the circumstances upon which one finds themselves. And therefore, now we're going to return to this, because I'm not sure. When he says here, the midos are not the highest, he's going to seemingly contradict himself in a moment, and we'll better define this third category shortly. The fourth category, v'amina revi'iyu ha-shlemos ha-anoshi ha-amiti, v'hu k'shiyagiyu l'adam ha-mailos ha-sichlios. So the fourth category, true perfection, is intellectual perfection. Ratzalomar tziur ha-muskalos l'ilmod mehem deus amitios balukiyus, a correct understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam, v'zos yatachlis achrona. This is the ultimate goal. V'hi ha-shlamas ha-adam shlemos amiti. So this is correct, complete perfection. This is very much consistent with what we saw in chapter 51. V'hi lo levado. This alone becomes yours, meaning to say it's purely integrated into who the person really is. Through this, the intellectual perfection, a person achieves eternity. We'll return to this point when we discuss the Rambam's conception of Olam Haba. And this is the means in which a person is truly human. And then he writes, I have to skip a little and summarize, that the Pasuk in Yirmiyah alludes to these four perfections and teaches us that one should take pride alone in the fourth. He writes, Ko amar Hashem ha'isalel chacham b'chachmaso. He's actually referring to the third perfection. He explains there why. Va'isalel gibor b'gvuraso is the second perfection. Va'isalel ashir b'ashro is the first perfection. Ki im b'zos yisalel ha'mishalel askel v'yadoa osi. That's, of course, the fourth perfection, the intellectual perfection. Now, one might conclude from here that the intellectual achievements are the fourth perfection, are above mitzvos. And lest you think that this is the Rambam's Einfald and Chiddush, so the Rambam then goes ahead and shows that Chazal say the very same thing, and he quotes a medrash that explains the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu just like he did. It's a medrash, Bereishis Rabbah, in our Parsha, Parshas Noach, Parsha Nunches, Parsha Lamed Hei, says, Kasav echad omer v'kol chafatzim lo yishvu ba v'kasav echad omer v'kol chafatzecha lo yishvu ba chafatzim elu mitzvos u'maisim tovim. So mitzvos u'maisim tovim are chafetzim, chafatzecha elu avanim tovim u'margolios, riches. Rabbi Acha b'shem Rav Tanchum bar Rabbi Chia chafatzai v'chafatzecha lo yishvu ba. Why? Ki im bezos yisalel ha-misalel haskel v'yodosi ki ani Hashem osa chesed u'mishpat. So here we have the Medrash underscoring that wisdom is superior than even Torah u'mitzvos. However, the Rambam writes over here that if you stop here, you're making a mistake because you're forgetting the rest of the pasuk. After it says, ki im bezos yisalel ha-misalel haskel v'yodoa osi ki ani Hashem osa chesed u'mishpat, the pasuk continues and says that it's insufficient to just perfect oneself through intellectual means. You also have to emulate God's actions. And since ani Hashem osa chesed u'mishpat utztaka ba'aretz, and the pasuk concludes, ki va'ela chafatzti ne'um Hashem, it's chesed, tztaka, and mishpat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chefetz. And therefore, after having stressed the importance of intellectual perfection, the Rambam says that it's chesed, it's mishpat, ki va'ela chafatzti. Now, you could stop for a moment and say, well, 1 second. Didn't he say that chesed is the third perfection, the third level of perfection, and now he's saying that chesed goes even above the fourth perfection? The answer, I think, is that when he referred earlier to character perfection, he was referring to the character traits that allow a person to succeed in society and allow society to run smoothly. And those tools aren't inherently valuable. Like he says, if you live on a desert island, they're not necessary. Whereas chesed and mishpat and staka in the truest sense is something inherently valuable. So the Rambam concludes his whole sefer with this very point, that yes, pursuit of wisdom and philosophy is something which is very important. But if one stops with that, if one is simply a great philosopher, so one has very much not fulfilled Ratzon Hashem. Be'elo chafatzti is chesed, mishpat, staka, and thus the Rambam concludes the very end of his sefer. If you turn to page 24, right, im kein hakavana asher zachra b'zeh pasuk hu biuro sheshleimus adam asher bo yisalel be'emes hu lagi al hasagas Hashem kefi hayecholas v'ladas hashkachaso bebruav. We'll come back to that when we talk about hashkacha. You have to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, understand hashkacha, behamtzio osam, behanhigo osam, echi v'laleches acharei hasaga hahi bedrachim shiyiskaven behem tamid la'asos chesed u'mishpat staka lihidamos bepu'ulos Hashem. And the Rambam, as we mentioned before, actually tells you a very practical way of doing this. We don't have time to go into that now. So, with that, we'll stop here. And what you see, at the very least, this is something that we will return to later, is that the Rambam's position is quite complex. It's not uncommon for people to oversimplify the Rambam, to paint him into a box, and some people will see the Rambam only as a philosopher, others only as an Isha Halacha, others in other respects. The Rambam was very broad, and Torah is very broad. And the Rambam, at the same time, stresses the paramounts of one's intellectual connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the emotional, the Ava, and at the same time, the importance of Midos Tovos, Torah, and mitzvos. Have a wonderful Shabbos, a good Chodesh, and I'll see you next week. Amir Tzashem. Don't forget to sign.